Hi, this is Paul from Global Voice Network, and this is another exciting episode of Logical Thinking, and a really, really super exciting episode, because today I have radio host extraordinaire, awesome speaker, does symposiums on enlightenment and awakening and all things etheric and just all things like way cool that people have completely lost touch with. Way too grounded. People are way too grounded. You know, you need to, who was it that said, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars? I believe that was Dick something or other. What was his name? Ted, help me out here. That was, who was that? That was Dick,
Dick Tracy? Sorry.
No, the immortal teenager, American Bandstand.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Dick. I can see his, face, and he always had like grease in his hair. It's always combed back. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that Dick guy that said, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Right.
Right. He did American Top 40. No, that was Casey Kasem. Never mind. Okay.
No, he was a well-known musician and an MC. I remember him very well. Oh yeah. Yeah, he was great. Thank you for mentioning him.
And he also did the ball drop and Central Park for like
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was Dick I don't know. Okay,
Paul, I'll look it up for you. Okay, buddy. Yeah.
That's going to drive me crazy. I don't know why. I believe that's a character flaw, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
You have probably one of the most amazing shows that I have ever had the pleasure of being on and the joy of listening to, Out of This World Radio, and it's on bbsradio.com. When is that? And Dick Clark. There you go. Yeah, thank you.
It's Dick Clark, my friend. I just said, you know, that's perfect. Now I got to get back to the screen. I hope that's I can find you.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll kill a minute until you get there. BBSradio.com. You have Out of This World Radio. And that's Saturday evenings, right? You have multiple time slots on that, don't you?
Yeah, it's Saturday evenings. So it goes from starts at 10 a.m. Pacific and goes till noon or 1, and then it starts up again at 3 and goes till 4 or 5 in the afternoon. The afternoon show is usually a Spanish show. I had a translator, and then she got busy, but I found somebody else good to replace her. And then I also have a German show on Mondays from noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, or 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central European time, and that's beamed to Austria, Switzerland, and Germany.
Wow. What kind of things do you talk about on the same things?
Well, no, it's different shows, different times or different shows. I don't like to repeat. The purpose of my show is to make this world a much better and happier place. And that's the purpose of my life, actually. It started back in Atlantis 12,500 years ago when I and other light workers, and you were there too, Paul, we all tried to stop the cabal, the then cabal, from destroying Atlantis, but we failed. So they ended up destroying Atlantis with crystalline and nuclear weapons. I'm told that they were shooting these weapons through Atlantis, through the crust of the earth to Lemuria, and in an attempt to attack Lemuria and control. They ended up blowing up Atlantis, blowing up much of the world. And so we're all back again on the stage again. And what Shakespeare said, you know, all life's a stage and we're but actors upon it. So we're all back doing these roles again. But this time there's a difference, Paul, because we're going to win this time. We are winning. And the negatives are getting beaten back. It's the destiny of this planet and humanity on the planet, Paul, to ascend into the higher dimensions. And we're finally doing it. You know, this is the seventh civilization that's attempted to shift into the higher dimensions, Paul, seven. And it's gone on for millions of years. I myself have been here 52,000 years. You've also been here that long, Paul. And sometimes if you feel like you're an old soul, where you are, full of wisdom, and that's why you're doing your show now. And I'm so happy to be here, Paul. We're going to reach a lot of listeners. But all of us have came down here to this planet to be part of this ascension. And, you know, we only have about maybe 5 or 6 months left of third dimension left. And after that, we'll shift into the fourth dimension by August or September this year. And then at the end of fall or end of 2024, we'll shift into 5D. And won't that be something else? And I can talk about the differences in what 4D means and what 3D means and what 5D means. But but the important thing is that the decisions people make now, Paul, will affect humanity and their own lives for many thousands of years. Let's say, for example, somebody doesn't want to go along with the new Earth, wants to stay with the old ways of doing things. Well, Mother Earth doesn't want you here anymore, and you will exit, and you'll go to the other side of this solar system, to an Earth-like planet that's in the same orbital path as this planet, Paul. It's a lower third dimensional planet, and you'll work out your karma for 1 Mayan Ketun cycle, which is 25,800 years. That's the time it takes the Earth in this solar system to go around the central sun of the Milky Way galaxy. And every time it does that, there's an ascension cycle. So at the end of every 25,800 years, there's a chance for people on this planet to ascend to higher dimensions. There's two other smaller ascension cycles, once every 2,000 years, and it's no accident that Jesus was here on this planet 2,000 years. And there's a smaller one within that of every 100 years. So you go back 100 years, and there was the Roaring Twenties and, you know, Charleston and, you know, all that great music from the 20s and a lot of progressive things coming up. But that was an ascension cycle, too. So if you go back in history far enough, you'll see the patterns. So, but all three ascension cycles now are meeting right now.
Wow.
And we're right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it.
So is it your impression that this ascension cycle is actually going to stick because this is the time that it's also aligned with Earth's ascension cycle? Earth is ready to ascend.
Right.
We weren't ready to ascend before because Earth wasn't ready. Now Earth is ready and she's dragging us along for the ride.
Exactly. And in September 2016, Earth decided, Gaia, she's a living entity. She decided, I'm sick and tired of waiting for humanity to catch up, to start. So it started with the human residence, which doubled from 7.8 hertz to 13.8 hertz within the month of September 2016. She went ahead and decided to start shifting ahead. And she said, fellow humans, I love you dearly. You're welcome. I hope you can come with me. But if you don't, I'm moving ahead. Because of all the planets in this solar system, and there's not 8 or 9, there's 40 planets. If you count all the ones in different dimensions, there's 40 planets in this solar system. We were humanity here who wanted to stick with the old ways of fighting and war and disharmony. They were all holding the rest of this solar system and by extension, the rest of this galaxy and the rest of this universe from forging ahead because it's and ascending because it's a universe wide ascension that's happening right now. And we're the middle of it. That's why all eyes of the universe are on us right now. And there's a lot of ET life that's watching your show tonight and watching what kinds of decisions we all make for the future, you know. And this whole thing with the SHOT program, I'll be careful what I say, with the SHOT program is actually an attempt to stop our ascension. Because if you take the shot, it'll definitely harm your chances of living. And also, it'll permanently damage your DNA structure. There's a lot of things. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's a lot of problems with the SHOT program. So it's not to say that you can't get help. If you need help, I have a list of inexpensive remedies, homemade stuff, things that do help. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, outofthisworld1150.com, and I'm happy to send it to you for free. But there's a lot going on right now, and it truly is an exciting time to be alive. It's challenging, you know. We have been under lockdown on this scamdemic now for almost 2 years, or about 2 years. And it's a scam, you know. Look how quickly it's gone from the SHOT program to Ukraine. And who knows what they're going to, they'll have green men from Mars attacking us. Who knows? But something in fear, you know.
They're trying to paint President Putin as this infinitely bad guy. He's an invader. He's taking over the country. The Ukrainian refugees, they're running for their lives and everything else. I've seen pictures where the news stills showing the people escaping is actually a scene from a movie that came out of Hollywood like 10 years ago, five or 10 years ago. Okay. So, and the Ukraine on fire is a reverse image of one that they used years ago for Beirut on fire. It's, but at least that one, they reversed it. They gave it a mirror. So it wasn't the same picture. All the buildings were backwards. Whatever. It's a good thing there weren't any billboards, because then you would know they were backwards. But Gaia, she's intelligent. And I really think that her heart is breaking right now.
It is.
With the things that are going on.
Gaia loves us dearly. She wants as many, as President Kennedy told me a year ago, leave no neighbor behind. Try to bring as many people as you can along with you in this ascension process, because it doesn't come around very often. And those who, for those of you who missed the boat, missed the train, missed your flight, there'll be another one 25,800 years from now. And I mean, to some people, maybe that's not a long time. To me, I think it is, but maybe some people don't.
That's 25,000. Oh, would that be 250,000 lifetimes? If a person lived to be 100?
You and I have been here for 52,000 years. And each spiritual lifetime is about 80 years. So 70, 80 years. So it roughly works out to 720 lifetimes. Or 360 lifetimes per every 25,800 year ascension cycle. So, you know, Paul, you don't look a day over 10,000 years old. You look very young for your age. And that's a compliment. And
So what you're saying is these guys don't have anything to worry about. If they don't manage to wake up for this ascension cycle, they've got another at least 300 years to get it right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, well, I hope.
Yeah, I have. Well, 300 or 700, whichever
right.
works.
Right.
So I firmly believe that Gaia has enough intelligence and enough capacity for self-preservation that though she loves us and wants us to come along with her, that if need be, that she will shake us off like a bad case of fleas. She's given it her all. She's had all she can stand. She can't stand no more, just like Popeye. And it's our opportunity to wake up and open our eyes. And I like how you mentioned, you know, try to bring your friends, neighbors, and family along with you. But the most important thing to remember is if you talk to somebody about two or three things and they're just not getting it, just give them some independent research work, turn around and go to the next person. Because these people that won't wake up are extremely well suited at wasting your time and keeping you from waking other people
up. Right.
So,
right. Well, it doesn't hurt to try, but I'll tell you, Joseph Stalin, I'll tell you an example from Joseph Stalin. He had a love-hate relationship with Hitler. Of course, he hated Hitler for attacking the Soviet Union, but he also admired him for the way he was able to brainwash people and manipulate them with big lies. Because Hitler said during World War II that if you say a lie loud enough and long enough, then people will believe it. So what Stalin did after World War II, Paul, he had 50 Soviet citizens and he told them a lie every day for 2 months. At the end of those 2 months, 96% of all those people, or something like 47 people in that original 50 group believed the lie, and you couldn't get their mind changed. It's like looking at people with the mat, with the, you know, face.
Yeah, with the thing, with the thing.
You try to talk to them, and it's like you've insulted them deeply if you try to challenge their, you know, their belief system, you know, and it's like, well, hey, I've got 100 medical studies and you don't believe them, you know, so I just.
And they respond with hostility. Mm-hmm. They get hostile. And if I, what I think is like really amazing, I have no idea how they pulled it off or how they managed it. But I talk to people and they just don't like Mr. T. They don't like him. But if you ask them, why don't you like him?
They don't know why.
They can't tell you.
Yeah, because
they don't know why.
They've been brainwashed. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't know why. It's an irrational hatred for another being.
Right.
And you cannot get them out of that rut. I mean, even when all the crazy stuff comes out about the child abuses and the SRAs, the ritual abuses, the controlling families, the evil bloodlines. Even when that stuff comes out, I think a lot of the population is just not going to believe it, even if they see it in full living color on their big screen TV. They won't believe it.
I know. Well, you know, I've heard the comment before, Paul, that, you know, people are concerned about those who don't want to know the facts. And there's going to come to a point where they just have to be told, because they have intentionally stuck their heads in the sand and refused to open up to it, you know, and call people like you and me crazy for talking about it. So, you know, Ozzie and Harriet from the 50s doesn't exist anymore. No. You know, we have a good country in the United States with a lot of good people. And there's good people in Canada and Mexico and Japan and in Africa, around the world, and in Russia. There's a lot of good people everywhere around the world. But and you have to remember that there's just a small minority of the world population who are trying to destroy us. And they're going to fail because we are meant to ascend. And we're getting help now from Gaia, from planet, and from God herself. God has decreed that this planet shall ascend. So it's starting to ascend now. And the old ways of doing things with war and fighting, that's all going by the wayside. And it's not going to work. None of it's going to work. But it's the destiny of this planet, Paul, I think, to be happy, healthy, and live harmoniously with each other. And that's how I look at it. When we're all one people, we all have God within us. And it doesn't matter what race, creed, color you're from, what country you're from, what language you speak, what sex you are, whatever. We're all equal in the eyes of God. And I do believe in God or a supreme being. And she is helping us now. I know she is. So.
And we were actually supposed to be intergalactic. We were actually supposed to be long, long ago taking what makes humanity special, our creativity, our compassion, our understanding for our empathy. We were supposed to be doing the Star Trek thing a long time ago. I mean, traveling the galaxy and just exposing ourselves to other life forms and exposing them to us. Mm-hmm. That's what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Right. But they stopped it.
Right. They stopped it. They stopped it several times, actually. But we will fulfill that now. And we are fulfilling that. And there's nothing that the negatives can do to stop us, Paul. Because I know we will be successful. Yeah.
Well, we've actually had technologies that people wouldn't be able to believe today. We actually had those technologies thousands of years ago.
Oh yeah. I mean, oh yeah.
If you look at the scarring on this planet, you will see that, like, the natural, rock formations and things like Devil's Tower. Hello.
Oh yeah, right.
That is a petrified tree. Okay.
My God. That is amazing.
And like the Grand Canyon. Okay. Right. There's a rock like 300 feet up in the air on this like vertical tower, and it is not only perfectly cut flat, like this 12-foot rock, it's perfectly cut flat, and there are circular saw blade marks in the rock, and it's like 300 feet in the air.
Oh,
it's
my
like
God.
There's no way to get near it.
Yeah, wow.
The Gaia has been literally strip mined, and we were not supposed to have deserts.
Mm-hmm.
our deserts are the sand after they had mined the precious materials from right. elsewhere on the planet, pulverized it, extract the valuable, and then they just dumped the sand somewhere. That's what actually created the deserts.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow.
Wow. We are supposed to be a Garden of Eden.
That's
everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. So, and really, when you talk about an ecosystem, or when you talk about like a desert area as opposed to an area that has fertile soil, okay, the fertile soil came from the fact that there were trees and there were plants, and that the biomatter composted and it rebuilt the soil. It built up the surface soil, and the continual growing of plants and the retention of water and everything else, it actually caused that tepid climate in right. that area.
Right.
But if you have 1,000 square miles and you dump nothing but sand on it that is baked by the sun during the day, it's superheated, any water that lands on it completely runs deep underground. There's no way anything that can grow above it. I believe that the deserts on this planet did not naturally occur. They were created by making those sand piles. That's what I believe.
Have you heard about what's it called? There's an ancient Hindu Bible, Mahabharata, and they talk about a nuclear war in northern India years ago, where the whole sand was turned to glass by the nuclear radiation. There's also a place called Sexy Woman. It's a very ancient archaeological site in Cusco, Peru, where there's a part of it I've heard about, which is also where the sand also has turned into green glass. And archaeologists also think that was as a result of a nuclear war as well. So it was
how many other areas around the world have like carvings and hieroglyphs of like some of the spacecraft and some of the aerial craft that we're seeing flying around today, like triangular shaped saucers or triangular shaped ships, the TR-34B, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that patent's been released. That's something that the U.S. military has had for like 10 or 20 years.
Wow. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And, I saw a video the other day, and it was talking about the Dorito parasite. Have you heard about the Dorito parasite?
Does that infect Dorito potato chips?
No. It's a Dorito. It's an orange-shaped triangle. It is a parasite. It's like this big, okay? It's like, that big. And it has a needle on one end that has, like, protruding tentacles that, like, stick into like the wall of whatever part of the body it is in, and then it's got like a suction cup end on the other end so it can grab on and it can hold itself on. And there is a YouTube video where this woman claims that she did a borax detox. She accidentally overdosed on a borax detox, and like days later she had diarrhea, and this thing wound up in the toilet. It was inside her, and it looks exactly like a Doritos potato chip.
Did she take the jab?
No, I don't believe that she did, because she said that she eats naturally. She doesn't eat processed foods. She's very careful about what she puts in her body. So sure. I would think that she would be just as careful with anything that she allowed to be stuck in her body.
A lot of times people also get hit with this crap through the stuff sprayed in the sky.
Oh yeah.
And it could have easily. Let me look at that real quick. I think that's probably what happened to her. Let me double check. Yeah, that's how she got it. It was sprayed from above.
It was sprayed from above.
Yeah, she could eat as healthy as she wants, but I mean the air she breathes, stuff's coming through the atmosphere. A lot of those planes that you see spraying that stuff, Paul, aren't from the US military. They are actually shape-shifted reptilian UFOs made to look like a U.S. military Air Force plane, so we think that our government's spraying it when they're not. I've seen that happen many, many times.
Really? It's,
yeah. I've also seen instances where I was with the letter before R when he was able to destroy them. Concentrating, he would take his fingers, point it at it, and disintegrate it.
Oh, yeah. Cloud busting.
Cloud busting, right.
I've done that.
You can do it. You can do it. Yeah.
I actually put my initials in a cloud, and it took days to do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, one day I concentrated and I put like a P in a cloud. Uh-huh. And then the next day, day after that, then I put the G in the cloud, and I didn't get that one finished. So I had to do it over again the next day. Uh-huh. And then I did a V in the cloud. But yeah, absolutely. And they talked about cloud bursting in a movie that had, what was his name? Cloud busting. It was, I forget, but it's, amazing geographical area, 2 weeks from everywhere, you know, and that was another line in the movie, but the title escapes me.
Yeah.
But so these are multidimensional reptilian craft that are actually spraying little reptilian parasite babies in the air, and people are breathing them in, and they just happily grow.
And they're also terraforming the planet, too. The home planet of Draco for the reptilians is composed of titanium, barium, strontium, sulfur, and and aluminum. And guess what the chemtrails are made out of?
They're spraying.
Same elements. And so they're trying to change the atmosphere of this planet. One of the people who's been paying for part of that program is a guy named Bill in Seattle. He's got I don't want to mention his name, but he's got a computer company that has Windows in it. And you've got the picture. He's been paying hundreds of millions of dollars to have that done. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But they're trying to terraform the planet so the planet becomes more like the reptilian home planet of Draco rather than a Earth, more friendly, less friendly to humans and more friendly to the reptilians who breathe. They also like hot places too. They like hot weather areas. That's why Area 51 is in the hot Nevada desert. That's why the old Dulce base is in the four corners of Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico, because that's very hot there. And they like hot weather. You know, if you look at a lizard or a snake out in the desert, they get active when it's hot. They don't like it's cold. But that's the kind of climates they like. They're much more likely to have something there than they are in a cold place on the planet here.
So the deserts that we have were probably created by them for a reason. It's not just that they were dumping the junk sand there.
That would make a lot of sense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They were actually creating a hospitable environment to their physiology.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, getting back to my story about the Dorito parasite, the connecting thing about that was they looked up, they tried to identify that Dorito-shaped parasite. They looked for pictures all over the internet. They scoured the internet in America, and they also scoured the internet from France. Two people scoured the internet trying to find what this was. And as close as they could come to it, which would be almost identically, is a carving on a Rosetta Stone that is at least 1,000 years old.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And wow.
She had gotten some pictures from a friend of hers that were all of these stones from like ancient, archaeological digs. And a lot of the hieroglyphics on the stones were actually identifiers of like parasites and things, and that was one of them. It was the last photo that she was sent.
Interesting. So, well, the negatives do time travel. The reptilians and the grays entered our time and space reality here in third dimension in 1931 when they met with Nazi scientists and offered assistance, which they did. But once they were in our timeline, I know this sounds like sci-fi, but from what I'll tell you my source in a minute, they came into our time and space reality in 1931 in Germany, and they went back to time to about just after the fall of Atlantis to about 9,500 or 9,000 BC, because the Atlanteans could fight them and get rid of them because they had that technology. But they came in just after Atlantis fell. And so to make it look, and they've altered our history since that time to make it look like they've been here for thousands of years, which they haven't been. They've been here a relatively short time. This is from the Andromedans. Galax Collier channeled this information from the Andromeda Galaxy. So they've only been here for less than 100 years. But it looks like if you had a time machine, Paul, and went back to 1930 or before, they would not be in our timelines at all. But because they came in 31, they changed the history. They went back in time. Now, that violated cosmic law because you're not supposed to change history like that. But they did. And they've done a lot of things against our free will, violated free will so many times.
Well, just look at what's happened, like between 1931 and 1934. That's when a lot of the draconian admiralty government overreaches
right.
that have occurred from 31 to 34.
Mm-hmm. Hitler signed a cooperation agreement with the reptilians in 1936. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed an agreement with them to exchange technology as 1934 as well. From what I heard, FDR was on a trip to the Panama Canal at the time on a boat, and the Greys visited him at that time, and they did some sort of transfer. You're not going to find this in the history books, but that's what I've been told by people mm-hmm. sources. So.
No, they've been, that's when it's the history there. Books have been scrubbed.
Yeah.
Actually, I think history books have value as works of fiction. Because that's what they are. You know, isn't it interesting that the science fiction mm-hmm. is actually telling stories and giving examples of technology that's been on this rock for dozens of thousands of years, and the history books, which are actually the true recorded accounts of humanity from the beginning of time, are nothing but works of fantasy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you look at the word history, dissect his story. His story.
Yep.
So the victors always write the history. I'll give you an example. In the town I grew up in, Olympia, Washington, there is a place on the north end of a lake called Capitol Lake, which is man-made. It's a long story. Anyway, there's a plaque to the first white man who built a mill there, 1846. Nothing is mentioned about the Indians. Well, guess what? In order for him to build that mill there, he had to wipe out a whole bunch of Indians. And I heard this story from local elders around Olympia, that Native American elders, that the Indians used to use that spot where the mill was as a way to travel 300, 200, and 300 miles north to see their other Native American friends over by Vancouver Island. And they would travel back and forth using fourth and fifth dimensional travel passwords on the astral plane. But that's not listed there at all, because it's his story. History. Mm-hmm. It's written by the victors. And nothing is mentioned of the Native Americans there. And this area, actually, an area is a sacred spot. Of course, nothing is mentioned because of it. So.
The Native Americans have just gotten a raw deal. And they are just leaps and bounds more spiritual, more connected, and more in touch with Gaia than mm-hmm. we could ever be.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
But they've gotten a raw deal.
Would you like to know what I see for the future?
I would love it. I was thinking of where to go with this. I do want to talk about some of the interviews, some of the people that you've had on your show over the last week or two, and just give us little teasers. And I also want you to tell people how to find your show and how to find the archives.
Okay, thank you. You're so kind. Thank you, Paul. Well, I have a radio show called Out of This World Radio. I broadcast on Saturdays and on Mondays. On Saturdays, I broadcast in English and in Spanish, starting at 10 a.m. going through 4 or 5 in the afternoon Pacific time. And then on Mondays, I broadcast from noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time. in German and in English. And my last show, I had over 44 million listeners in over 100 countries. So I've got a good worldwide audience. And it tells me that people are waking up and they want the truth. They're tired of being lied to. And but you can get all my shows on BBS Radio at https://BBSRadio. That's boyboysamradio.com / out of this world radio. Or you can go to my webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and all the broadcast information is there. On Mondays, I either broadcast in German and in English on BBS or on Radio Soul International out of Vienna, Austria. I like being in Vienna. It's a wonderful place that's right in the heart of Central Europe, and I get a large coverage. I'm both on the internet and on a hardwired station in Vienna that reaches most of Austria, eastern Switzerland, and also southern Germany as well as far as Munich. So I get a lot of coverage there. So my book, Messages from the Masters, is being translated now into German. So if you are in Germany and or speak German, you can get a copy. You'll be able to get a copy of this book in just a couple of weeks in German. And it's updated. This is a book I published a couple of years ago. It's still for sale. It's just $21 and includes a 1963 article written, published by the Christchurch New Zealand Star paper about the Kennedy assassination. The only problem with the newspaper article, Paul, it was published while JFK was still alive, because Lyndon Baines Johnson, the vice president, had ordered all U.S. embassies to release this fake story about Oswald killing President Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963. That was the day, of course, President Kennedy was assassinated. There's a little problem with the date, though, in New Zealand, because on November 22nd, in New Zealand, it's November 21st in the United States, and President Kennedy was still very much alive in Washington, D.C. So the cabal they missed that. So you find this newspaper, and it's got discrepancies like it says that President Kennedy died at midnight Dallas time. No, he didn't. He died at 1:30 in the afternoon. It says there were three shooters shooting him to kill him. And the official story came out later, it was only one shooter, Oswald, with the magic bullet. There's a lot of discrepancies. It's got the wrong location where he was shot. But you read through this article and you realize it's all fake news, much like what you see on other news channels today. But anyway, it's included with the book. There's also a timeline about what would have happened had President Kennedy lived. And it was very interesting. We would be already in the fifth dimension, Paul, and exchanging ambassadors with other benevolent extraterrestrial races right now. And we would be living in an amazing time. And that's what our destiny is. Our destiny is to live in a beautiful planet and to be happy. One of the things too, this is it's a 528 Hertz tuning fork. And when you hit one of these with a crystal from Lemuria, from Mount Shasta, you spread love everywhere. Let's see if I've got a crystal handy. I don't see one, but at any rate, I can hit it with this. Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's the frequency of love. And when you hit one of these things, you bathe yourself in love. That's what the planet's going to. For tens of thousands and millions of years, the frequency of planet Earth was 7.8 Hertz. It's called the Schumann frequency. And in September 2016, it doubled to 13.8 Hertz. And now it's thousands of times higher. It's much, much higher right now because we're shifting into the fourth and fifth dimensions. If anyone would like one of these, you can just go to my website, outofthisworldreadings.com. That's plural.com. You can sign up. I give readings to people. I have a spiritual mentoring program. These are just $55, including postage. And then you can also buy my book, Messages from the Masters, as well. I've written a second book, which will likely be published. It'll be published in English, but probably out of Germany in a couple of months. It's called Journey to the Other Side, talking with angels and benevolent spirits. That'll be like $20. I have a pre-publication copy. If you want, just send me an email. I can send you a copy to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also go to Mount Shasta every year. I'll be going to Mount Shasta at the end of June for a week, and then for 3 one-week trips starting on August 13th this year. And at Shasta, Paul, we always have a lot of fascinating things happen. We've had a lot of miracle healings. back about 3 years ago, the Telosians and Adama gave me a new heart. They said, I've been working very hard all these years, and they gave me a new heart. And then the year before that, they healed my eyesight. I had 20/50 vision in one of my eyes, Paul. And one night, Adama came to me. He's the patron saint of Mount Shasta, and said, Ted, how would you like a healing? And I said, I'd love one. And so the next morning, I woke up with 20/10 perfectly crystal clear vision in both eyes. Wow. So I can't guarantee that'll happen every time when you go, because you have to be of you have to be positive and not have any doubts. But miracle healings do happen quite a bit. I was there last October and had a small group up on Shasta, and one lady who had had a hearing loss for over a decade suddenly had her hearing restored in her left ear. Another lady had her eyesight restored to 20/20 vision. But those sorts of things happen. I've also seen people cured of Lyme's disease as well as Lou Gehrig's disease. I've seen that happen. One fellow came on my trip in August of 2018. He flown from Austria there, actually. And he used to be an Olympic runner. But with Lou Gehrig's disease, it's a deterioration of the nervous system. And we did a prayer for him. We went to a sacred spot. And suddenly, Paul, he got up and ran 2 miles back to the car. First time he'd run in more than 15 years. So he was very happy. But we all have that healing power within us. We do a lot of prayers and meditation. It's spiritual healing, and it does work. But anyway, and then this October, I'm going to be going back to Peru. Peru by then should be in the fourth dimension. So if you want to come, just send me an email to Out of This World Readings. Out of This World 1150@gmail.com. And we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. We are going to ascend. We will be ascending into the fourth dimension by the end of August, early September, and five dimension by the fall of 2024. It's coming up very quickly now, very fast.
Are you sure we have to wait that long? Because I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this forever.
Right. I know. Well, I want to tell you that we are getting a lot of help. And I mean, we could make this happen tomorrow or today if enough people wanted to make it happen. But it's always been especially tough. Of all the planets in this universe, this planet is the hardest planet to affect any positive change, Paul. It really is the toughest one.
We have a lot of dead weight. And by that, okay, now I mean that in the most loving way. I really do.
I know what you mean, my friend. Yeah,
we have a lot of dead weight because of the people that are so stuck in their programming and their brainwashing.
That's true.
If they were to let go of that, then they would no longer be dead weight.
That's true, my friend. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're not hopeless.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But they are trying. They're rather trying. Okay, what do you see for our future? Like, is the ascension timeline that you were talking about what's in store for us, or do you have any other little tidbits you can share?
Well, I could tell you quite a bit, actually. We are all going to become telepathic. Our longevity will double, then triple, then quadruple, and eventually become 1,000 years per person. We will have free energy on this planet within the next 2 years. The disease will be completely eliminated, because disease, if you break it down, is dis-ease. Mm-hmm. We will be living in harmony and peace with each other. There'll be no more fighting. Government eventually will become a lot smaller than it is now, because you won't need the police forces and militaries that we do now. There will be a military, a world military, but it'll be to defend humanity from any negative extraterrestrials coming to disrupt things here on planet Earth. That'll be part of the Galactic Alliance or a similar organization. That's what I'm seeing happening. But that's where we're headed. And if President Kennedy had not been assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963, that's where we'd be right now. We would already be living 500-600 years, and we would have free energy. Can you imagine? I mean, not using petroleum products, and having free energy. It already exists. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And actually, there is a story I want to tell you regarding Valiant Thor and the Pleiadians. In 1953, a group of Pleiadians as part of the Galactic Alliance met with President Eisenhower and said, look, we can offer you technology so you don't need you won't need your nuclear weapons and free energy if you'll get rid of your nuclear weapons. And Eisenhower said no. Actually, Eisenhower liked them, but Richard Nixon wanted weapons. He was also concerned about his doctor friends and big pharma friends, because he was afraid that the Pleiadians offered to eliminate all disease on the planet. And Nixon said, well, if you eliminate a disease, how is big pharma going to make any money, and how are these doctors and nurses going to make any money if everybody's healthy? So he was against it. The Joint Chiefs of Staff were also against it, our military, because they wanted weapons to fight the Russians at the time.
Because they're warmongers.
Yeah, they were warmongers. And so the following, about 6 or 8 months later, the Greys and the Reptilians show up, and they met with President Eisenhower at Edwards Air Force Base at the North Runway in March of 1954, round about this month, about this time, actually. And wouldn't that be an interesting program to do? Maybe that's what I'll do this weekend. They said, you can keep your weapons. We will actually give you some of our older technology so you can fight the Soviets at the time. But we'd like to abduct and study you humans.
Yeah.
And they agreed to return all humans back to their point of origin and wipe their memories clean so they wouldn't remember. Eisenhower didn't like these entities. They weren't people. They were another negative alien race. And against his better judgment, because he didn't want to do it, they threatened him. They said, if you don't sign this agreement, then we'll offer the same thing to the Russians and Khrushchev, and they'll become the preeminent power on planet Earth. I'm also told that the Reptilians and the Greys threatened to kill off a bunch of humans on this planet if he didn't sign. So he felt like he was forced into it. He signed it, and I think he realized he had misgivings about it as soon as he signed it. But it was never ratified by Congress. It's completely illegal. In 1959, while he was still president, President Eisenhower wanted to send his representative to Area 51 in Nevada to check it out, to see what was going, because this is the base that they had constructed to share this alien technology with us here. Mm-hmm. And the people, the three-letter agency starts with the letters C's and cat, I's, yeah, and A's and apple. I'm not going to say it on the air. Refused to let him in. And so what President Eisenhower did, he said, look, if you don't let me in, I'm going to send the 6th Army from Denver and fight our way in. Well, only then did they allow a representative. That was the last time, like more than 60 years ago, when any representative of any sitting U.S. president was ever allowed into Area 51.
Yeah.
And later, the information I got was that there's three levels at Area 51. The top third, there was like 9 levels, maybe 12, but the top third of it was staffed by humans. The next third of it was humans and reptilians and Greys. And the last bit were just Greys and reptilians. Part of the thing that I got the message the other day they were working on is the SHOT program to control and kill us. Kill off, not everyone, but to control us and kill us. But that's what they were working on in this program.
Yeah, control the controllable, and the ones that aren't controllable, get rid of them.
Eliminate them, yeah. There's quite a bit. The technology itself is based upon what they did to the Orions. The Orions themselves, the small Greys, they at one time were a humanoid race, a little bit like us, similar to us. And they were in the Orion constellation, and they had just discovered space travel when they were leaving their group. When they were just leaving, a large reptilian mothership showed up. They captured about 90% of the Orions, and they sold all the men into slavery, and then killed off all the women and children except for about 1,500 to 1,600 women and children. Of those women and children, they hybridized them into a slave race, which is what they are today. They used that same technology recently in the SHOT program. That's the basis for the mRNA technology.
Weird.
That's where it came from. They perfected it recently at Dulce and at Area 51. That's what they've released into the to the general population. There are remedies, but that's where it comes from. It's completely evil, completely nefarious, and there's not one damn beneficial thing in it. Not one thing. Nothing is good about that program. So that's kind of the history in a nutshell. And you have to remember that back in 54, when Khrushchev and Eisenhower were being played by the Greys, because both of them ended up signing the same thing. And later in the 60s, Khrushchev, did we and the Russians find out we were being played with each other? So it's a long story, everything that happened, but it's done nothing but harm humanity on this planet. We've had all these wars since then. We're supposed to be living in peace and benevolent happiness here, but we're not. You know, we still have a lot of fighting, you know, and anyway, that's what I see as far as like, you know, it's kind of a nutshell of everything. But with the rising vibrations of the planet, the negatives will not be able to stay here, and they are leaving. And they are leaving, and they will be forced off. The negative ETs will be forced out this year, and then their human allies will be forced out by 2025 as we go into 5D. The negatives will not be able to live in 4D, and their human allies will not be able to live in 5D. So the end is very near right now. Yeah, the end is very near for the negatives.
Yeah, I had always understood that the lower vibrational beings, the highest they could go would be 4D. They're stuck there. When we go from 3D to 4D, we're going to run headlong into the evil mucks that are stuck there and can't go any further. And they're going to try and keep us from going from 4D to 5D. That's their job. So we've had technology for thousands of years. And the hieroglyphics, the signs of strip mining on the planet, just the crazy things that Stonehenge, the pyramids. Yeah. Come on, those stones, they are cut with laser, they're fit with laser accuracy.
Amazing. Wow, that's amazing.
You can't put a piece of paper between those stones. They fit perfectly. They did not have the technology, the tools, or the manpower to pull that off when those things were supposedly built.
Right.
Just because we don't have it today doesn't mean we haven't always had it. It just means that it's been hidden from us, because it's a lot easier to charge us by the gallon, by the kilowatt hour, and by the pound.
So you got that straight.
with that, and Ted, I so enjoyed this program. It's been a joy, and I can't wait to tune into your show this weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you. I'm just there's a couple different ways I can do it, but I think I will have a segment on the commemoration of the March 54 agreement that most people don't know about. So.
I think that would be good to
talk about it. So anyway,
hey, your show is where I get my best stuff. What can I say? Okay, I am knowledgeable vicariously through your radio show. So that is how it goes. I want to thank you again for being here. You are such a friend. You are such a joy to speak with, and I so appreciate you.
Thanks, Paul. I'd love to have you on my show, too. We'll talk about it, okay? Set up a time, my friend. It'd be fun to have you on.
Okay. Whenever is good for you is good for me. I love to make my schedule flexible enough to fit in with yours.
Great. Thank you, my friend. That would be great.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Logical Thinking. Please check out the archives on bbsradio.com/logicalthinking. Don't forget to check out bbsradio.com/outofthisworldradio. And as always, try to wake up who you can. Have compassion for those you can't. Have patience for those along the way, and have joy in your heart always. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
All right, my friend. Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye, Ted.
Bye.